Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show today. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching, and I'm so glad you joined us today. We have an amazing gift for you with Dr. Candace Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips Report. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level, and you can get your free copy of this great book at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Now today on the show, we have an incredible guest for you, Matt Stone. And Matt is a bit of a health maverick. He's kind of an independent health researcher and kind of does his own thing. He started this website called 180 Degrees Health, and he really takes kind of a different look at a lot of the common health cliches out there, if you will. Things like eat less and exercise more. He's got a very different approach and take on that, and some really solid research to stand behind it as well. And he's got just a huge following online, I think, because you know he really has this kind of unbiased approach where he looks at what really works and what does the research say, rather than just going along with what everyone else has been saying for 50 years or so about health and weight loss and things like that. So I think you'll find the show really informative, really enlightening, and definitely a new perspective on a lot of things from weight loss to your metabolism to skin cancer and sunscreen, things like that. So enjoy the show today, take great notes, and make an incredible day.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Tell us more about your background and what got you interested in health and nutrition in the first place.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me. You know, my interest is pretty much almost like a journalistic approach in that it's just been a topic I've been very interested in. My background is in writing. And I picked this as my topic because I've always been very interested in it. I had a lot of health problems and naturally gravitated to taking matters into my own hands and sort of looking at ways that I could fix my health problems instead of trying to rely on some chemical substance or another authority or a doctor or something like that to fix my problems. I really wanted to figure out what was causing my problems, how to fix those, and that's really been a primary motivating factor to all the things that I've explored in this field and all that over the years.
Well, I see you've got this website called 180 Degree Health. What does that mean exactly, and why did you come up with that?
Well, I started with a sort of dual meaning. One, I think overall our health needs a 180 degree turnaround. We can see pretty clearly with most of the trends with a lot of diseases like asthma, autism, type 2 diabetes, obesity, heart disease, cerebral cancers, and other things, certainly a lot of autoimmune diseases as well. We see those all on the rise. And, it's just we can clearly see that we're headed in the wrong direction. So, we're definitely collectively in need of a 180-degree turnaround. The other meaning is that, I found that the standard advice that people were giving, not just on diet, but just in general, on how to fix your problems if you had some problems or how to reverse these diseases was often very flawed. Just based on a lot of different, very simple fallacies that may have begun 50 years ago and since, been disproven by science, but the mainstream still believes in sort of what you could call the status quo when it comes to health and nutrition. And, a lot of the information that I've come across or the methods that I've found to be effective with myself and, the tens of thousands of people that I'm in communication with are often the 180-degree opposite from the standard, status quo type of advice.
Okay, so tell us about some of these status quo health cliches that are going around out there and why they might not be a good idea.
Well, there's a lot of them, but, for example, there's a widespread paranoia about, going out in the sun without sunscreen, for example. We know that sunscreen interferes with our body's ability to synthesize and produce vitamin D. We know that being in the sun and producing vitamin D naturally without any kind of sunscreen is a protective, activity, very protective. One of the most protective activities we know of when it comes to several of the most deadly cancers that we are aware of, as well as some other degenerative diseases. It increases the risk for skin cancer, decreases the risk for a lot more other diseases, including much more deadly cancers than skin cancer. So one of the things that I might recommend would be to go spend more time in the sun and not use any sunscreen, whereas the mainstream is recommending going out and spending less time in the sun and putting more sunscreen on because they're looking narrowly only at skin cancer. They're not looking at the big picture of the overall human organism and health and all the diseases that it might, protect you from. So, you know, that logic could be used in any number of different ways, because you can look at one single substance and find that it has association with one type of disease, but at the same time you're ignoring, you know, all the different things that it might be protective against. So we often see all these studies taken out of context, and that's just one simple example of something that I advocate that's sort of, you know, 180 degree opposite from what everybody else is talking about.
Well, you know, Matt, I definitely agree with you with what you're sharing there about skin cancer and vitamin D. And, you know, I talk about vitamin D so often, why it's so important. And I think that's just another kind of symptom of this, what we've got going on, the scientific reductionism, where basically someone will look at one study or one idea and say, well, that's conclusive across the board. So, for instance, you know, people say, oh, well, potatoes are bad for you because of one study or one thing or another, where, you know, on the whole picture, it might actually be a really good thing for you, but, you know, you don't know if you just look at one study or one idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's looking at things on the whole. I mean, there's probably hundreds of different of substances in a potato. Some could certainly be harmful, some could be protective, but it's really the diet and lifestyle and the foods in general and the whole picture that you know, creates health in one's body or disease in one's body. It's not as simple as looking at these big bad wolves, these one dietary villains that people often develop, you know, really strong phobias and aversions to, you know, certain types of fats or whatever it might be. I mean, almost everybody has some kind of dietary villain that they've been led to believe is the root of all evil, but they often discover otherwise, you know, later on after they've gone down some dietary route way too far. So anyway, that's just one example. Another example would be, you know, I tell people that they should be eating lots of calories, not few calories. We have sort of a calorie phobia in today's society, and we know that if people start to reduce their calorie intake, one of the things it does is reduces metabolic rate and increases hunger. So, you know, people certainly wouldn't take a pill that lowers your metabolism and increases your hunger to solve weight problems or any kind of other issue like that. And just trying to cut your food intake back and stuff like that usually just makes people tired, cold, and hungry. And in a world where we're surrounded by lots of highly palatable foods and temptations and things like that, people usually end up, you know, creating the opposite, where they sort of enter into this sort of starve and binge type of eating behavior if they try to starve themselves by under-eating. So that's another thing that I talk about that's really central to some of the things that I've come to the conclusion of over the years.
Okay, well, let's talk about weight loss then, Matt. I mean, what does someone really need to do to lose weight naturally, and how does the metabolism play a role in that?
Weight loss is an interesting topic, because if you look at all the scientific studies that have been done, basically we just see that type of pattern. We see people lose weight, and there's 100 different ways to get somebody to lose weight or reduce their calories. But you usually see that those metabolic changes occurring, that increase fat storage, that increase appetite, that decrease metabolism. And so you see the body sort of trying to gain weight in response to weight loss. There hasn't been a scientific way that has been identified as, you know, being 100% effective against obesity and things like that. I find that most people, we know that, for example, dieting is one of the greatest predictors of future weight gain. So I recommend people take a lot of the focus off of the weight itself and just try to eat better, eat higher quality foods, eat nutritious foods, don't be hungry, you know, make sure that you're eating well so that you can go out and do physical activity and be able to recuperate from it, get good sleep, those type of things. And if the body lets go of some body fat in the process of taking better care of yourself, then that's great. And I would, you know, that's usually sort of a healthy weight loss if there is such a thing. But most people, their intentional efforts or attempts at what you would call intentional weight loss usually backfire. And even if they work at weight loss, they often keep the metabolism suppressed, which leads to all different kinds of other health problems, because, you know, that really affects every system of the body. It slows down the digestion, for one. It makes the body, you know, very cold, lowers the immune system, all different kinds of things. So it's not a good strategy. It's one that we can actually rule out. But instead, the mainstream is just turning up the volume, and even the government is interfering to reduce the calorie intake of our school lunches of our kids and things like that. So anyway, I'm definitely on the other side of the fence on that, and trying to raise people's awareness about how this idea that we can just eat more or eat less and exercise more and it's going to make all of our problems go away is a real fantasy and something that science has actually proven to be false.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot about metabolism now, Matt, but I think a lot of people still don't understand exactly what that word means and how it plays a role in your health and in your weight and in life in general. So can you explain that briefly and tell us why it's so important and what we can do to make sure our metabolism is in a healthy place?
Well, metabolism, there's a lot of people, I think the best indicator whether your body's conserving energy or having a low metabolism or using energy freely and abundantly or having high metabolism is something as simple as body temperature. And we actually know that body temperature is in decline worldwide, and nobody's quite sure exactly what is the cause of that. And it's probably because there isn't just one cause. I would say that the modern diet and lifestyle collectively probably leads to a reduced metabolic rate, but it's not any one thing. And when it comes to figuring out what causes low metabolism, all we can really do is theorize about what causes it, because like I said, nobody's really been able to identify or single out one single cause. But the metabolism really, your body has the ability to regulate its own body fat levels and energy intake. I mean, just like with our breathing and oxygen levels, we would be foolish to think that we have these mechanisms, these involuntary mechanisms that regulate our oxygen intake, but that we wouldn't have mechanisms like that for something as basic as our energy balance. So, you know, we can take food in, and our body can use that those calories that we eat. It can shuttle it into muscle tissue where it produces heat, it produces energy, and gives us a great level of vitality. Or we can eat calories and our body can shuffle that off into fat storage, and we can be left feeling lifeless and tired and cold with a low metabolism and getting fatter and fatter. So where a calorie ends up or where, you know, the food that people ends up depends entirely upon their metabolism, which is not just how many calories you burn per day, but it's really all the different hormones that are in charge of directing where the food you eat goes, whether it gets turned into energy and heat, or whether it becomes, you know, body fat and you remain tired and hungry. So there's a lot of different mechanisms. It's very complex. I take the broader, more complex definition, which is metabolism is really what translates the food we eat, the air we breathe, the fluids that we drink, and translates that into what we call life. And, you know, certainly there's huge differences between individuals. We could all put everyone on the same diet and everyone would still look different and their bodies would look different because the metabolism and what the body does with the food that you eat is more important. And that's where I really work with in terms of trying to get people's metabolisms working differently so that their bodies are functioning more correctly and that they're not, you know, developing these problems where their body is just, you know, allocating that energy into the fat while their body temperature stays at, you know, 95.5 degrees. I have people come to me with a body temperature of 93 degrees. I try to get everybody up to 98.6, and usually you see a lot of health problems improve or go away completely in the process of seeing that body temperature rise, because the systems of the body all work better when our cells are producing energy like they should.
Okay, so what kind of things should people be eating and doing to make sure that their metabolism is at a healthy place? Is there something specific for everyone, or is it, you know, more of a personalized approach?
Well, I did a post a long time ago called What Gets You Hot, and I was really surprised to find that there's a huge amount of variation person to person with what makes people's body temperature actually go up, makes their metabolism rise, and makes them feel better. Now, if your body temperature is already high and your metabolism is already cooking, you don't need to eat a lot of foods that are really heavy, calorie dense, that contain a lot of things like salt, sugar, starch, saturated fat. It can actually be counterproductive in a high metabolic state to be eating a lot of those types of foods. I think that you can go, it's more about balancing the body's systems. And, but for a lot of people, especially people who I encounter, who are people who've been doing a lot of really hardcore type of health regimes. I come across people who have only eaten you know, haven't eaten a carbohydrate in 2 years. You know, have a lot of people eating diets that have caused them to become very, very thin and often underweight and things like that. Their body temperature goes down. And the S is the salt, sugar, starch, and saturated fat is actually what warms the body back up again. So for some people, it can be harmful. For other people, it's miraculous to be eating those types of foods. So the naughty foods are usually what raises the metabolism. When your metabolism is already high, that's a great time to be starting to eat more of your health food type of diet, the things in the high, with high water content, like your root vegetables and your legumes and your fruits and salads and raw foods and soups and all those different kinds of things are great to eat when your metabolism is high, but they're not very good at, you know, getting the metabolism up. So anyway, that's kind of how, you know, obviously there's a lot more to it than that, but those are certainly, you know, when I find people are freezing cold, often they've been trying too hard to be healthy, over-exercising and under-eating, and certainly eating a lot of quote-unquote health foods, you know, spontaneously reduces your calorie intake, which might be great for somebody who's 300 pounds, who's sweating profusely all day long, but it's not good for somebody who's underweight, freezing cold, and their sex drive has plummeted, and they haven't had a bowel movement in, you know, 4 days. Those kinds of things, those are more of your telltale low metabolism symptoms, and getting people, you know, working properly again, you know, sometimes eating those naughty foods is really, really helpful. Miraculous, in fact.
Okay, so you just said something that I don't hear very often in the health industry, which is over-exercising. What does that mean?
Well, exercise is a stress to the human body, and stress can be beneficial or it can be detrimental. It depends on the system that it's interacting with. So if you're exercising really hard, but you're under-eating and you're sleeping 5 hours a night, it's very difficult to recuperate and rehabilitate and recover from that exercise to where the stress actually makes your body get stronger. If you're not able to recover and rehabilitate, then your body breaks down further and further and becomes weaker and weaker and gets progressively torn down, progressively sicker from doing too much exercise. There's, you know, exercise is incredibly good if you do enough of it at getting your body temperature reduced and your metabolism lowered, particularly endurance exercise. You know, I've had my body temperature go all the way down to 96 doing a lot of hiking and stuff like that. So it just depends on the person and how well they recuperate, how well they're eating. But certainly what's over-exercising for one person is totally different from another. Over-exercising, you know, doing 10 minutes a day could be over-exercising for somebody who's been battling with an eating disorder and has had insomnia for several years and so forth. They actually need to lay around on the couch and eat a lot of salt, sugar, starch, and saturated fat, whereas somebody else might need to do sort of the opposite, do more exercise and eat, you know, more of the quintessential health foods instead. So it's all about bringing balance to the body. But I find that people just get these phobias in their minds, like, you know, the belief that fat and sugar and things like that are killing us all, that we eat too many calories and things like that. That's might be fine and dandy for somebody who's got the opposite problem, but usually your typical health fanatic that finally makes it to my site and the bowels of the alternative nutrition world on the internet sort of sees that, you know, their tendency is more to go too far to the other side, and they actually need to loosen up a little bit and you know, eat some normal foods and things like that.
Okay, Matt, well, where can people find out more information about you and the work that you're doing on a regular basis to educate the public?
It's all at 180degreehealth.com. I have a lot of free information there, and I have, you know, YouTube channels, all those kind of things, and I have several ebooks that you can check out. The best place to start is to read my ebook, Diet Recovery. And that sort of just, you know, mentions all this stuff, talks about, you know, my protocol for raising metabolic rate, which it does very, very well. I would say at least 9 out of 10 people are able to get their body temperature up anywhere from, you know, 95, 94, 96, all the way back up to the normal 98.6. And it usually takes somewhere between 2 to 5 weeks, and it's not difficult. It's, you know, akin to being on vacation. So anyway, it's a lot different from a lot of those, you know, no pain, no gain type of programs out there where, you know, people are trying to eat in a puritanical fashion and exercise their brains out against their will. This is really the opposite and is more about rehabilitating your body, often from your extreme health pursuits. So anyways, that's me, and 180degreeshealth.com is where you can find all that stuff.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wealth of knowledge with us. I know it's going to help thousands of people improve their lives, so thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me, and take care, and keep on fighting the good fight and helping people yourself.
Hey there, it's Tom Forsnoles again. I hope you really enjoyed the show today with Matt Stone. Hope you got some really great value out of that, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen with us today. So remember to come join us at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Come join the community, and if you have any questions, if there's anything we can do to help you and support you with your health and nutrition, we're here to help all the time. And wishing you an incredible day. Take care.